Morning. Today's daf in Erevin Mem Hey. We're in Mem Dalamud Beis. We are a little bit after the Mishnah, just going over the Mishnah here in the fourth parak of Erevin, discussing Inyanei Tchum. The Mishnah taught us that if somebody left Berishus, the person left Tchum, and he did so for a number of good reasons. Rashi, back in the Mishnah, gave us three different examples of what are a number of good reasons. Rashi writes, Kigon, Leidus HaChodesh, Rashi in the Mishnah, says that number one, he's en route to testify that he saw the new moon. Oh, lahatsa menagayis menanar. Rashi says that you're saving somebody's life. Oh, chachama balei later, a midwife who's delivering. So in any of these circumstances, obviously you are en route to doing something which is positive, constructive, and mitzvah. Pikuach nefesh. In a moment, we're going to separate the two. But Rashi says under those circumstances, so and you're en route to go. So what becomes now that you are leaving your tchum? So the Mishnah had three statements. If you go back to the Mishnah, so let's review all three statements. Best in fact, we're going to just start from the Mishnah, because we're going to end up reviewing it anyway. I contrast this Mishnah, by the way, to the first Mishnah of our Perek. In the first Mishnah of our Perek, somebody who was taken out of his tchum, and even if he was taken out forcibly, he didn't even volitionally leave his tchum. So the Mishnah taught us, the first Mishnah taught us, that he is significantly restricted. He only has Dal Amos for the remainder of Shabbos. Okay, since the beginning of the parak, we talked about various ways, avenues in which he may possibly be able to get back into his original tchum. But short of that, though, the default is that he's only restricted to those four Amos. Now you contrast it to this Mishnah over here, because in this Mishnah, we're going to be dealing with a scenario where he left his tchum, but he did so for good reasons, for positive reasons. So, with that stated, let's just go back to the Mishnah. We're going to start from the Mishnah. Mishiyasa Bereshus v'amrlo kvar nasa masa yeshlo apayim l'chol amal l'chol ruach. So the Mishnah says that if a person left, and he left Bereshus, as we just went through the Rashi and all the examples that Rashi brings down, so now he's not restricted to Dal Amos like we saw in the first Mishnah, but rather he has a full 2,000 Amos in which he can go, based on wherever he stopped. The Mishnah gives a scenario where they say to him, Kvar Nasa Maisa, meaning you're not even needed anymore. It's fine. But nevertheless, the idea is that since he left Bereshus, so therefore he's afforded 2,000 Amos. Now, next line of the Mishnah, if he was within his own Tchum, so it's as if he never left. Hopefully you remember yesterday in the Gemara, we went through the two sheets of what that means. We're going to go through them in a moment anyway. So if we don't remember from yesterday, we're gonna review it right now. And finally, call Yosem Lahatzel Chozem and Komam. And then the Mishnah says something which is at this point in time extraordinarily confusing, and that is the Mishnah says that if we go out, we can come back, which seemingly is what the Mishnah didn't say in the beginning. In the beginning, the Mishnah said that if you go out, you're given 2,000 amas. What does the Mishnah mean over here? What does the Mishnah over here mean when it says that you can go out, you can come back? So stay tuned. We're gonna explain that later this morning. In the meantime, the Gemara is really bothered by that second statement of the Mishnah, is that if you left and you were en route and somebody stopped you, and somebody stopped you while you were in your original tchum, it's as if you never left. So which the Gemara basically says, I think we would have figured that out. So ma'im haya besocha tchum ki ilo lo yatsa. So Amar Rabba, so we saw, and we're now going to get to review, two opinions amongst the Amoraim, how to understand that second case of the Mishnah. Number one, Rabba. Hachi kamri maya besoch tchum shalo ki ilo lo yatsa mitoch beiso dami. It means to say that if you did not leave your original tchum, so it's as if now you reestablish your original tchum. Now, Pshita the Gemara says, now, isn't this obvious? That's the whole reason why we're bothered by the Mishnah, because it was so obvious. So the Gemara says, ma'u detema hova akar akar kamash malan. Chiddush goes like this. I might have thought you started moving to a new location. Maybe what you basically did is that when you left your house in order to do any of the positive activities, so you basically negated your old makum shvisa. It was almost like a bittul of your old makum shvisa. It's a havamina. And I might have thought that at this point in time, you are going to now reestablish a new makum shvisa, even if you find yourself in your original makum shvisa, in your original tchum, but basically you negated your original point of center. This becomes now a new point of center. That's all a havamina. And the Chiddush is, Kamash Malan, know that because you are in your original tchum, you just simply reestablish your original tchum. Rav Shimi bar Chiya Amar Hachi Kamri Ma'i Tchum Shanasin Lo Chacham Im Muvlai Besoch HaTchum Shalo Ki Ilo Lo Yatza Mi Techumo. The opinion of Shimi bar Chiya is that, no, that is not the correct way to understand the Mishnah, but rather the Mishnah is actually telling us a Chiddush, a bigger Chiddush, and that is the following. You were en route to doing something positive and constructive, Eidus HaChodesh, and then while you were out, you were told you're not needed. Now, when did you discover this information? You were outside your tchum, but not that far outside your tchum. You were within 2,000 amos of your tchum, meaning, and now we know that the Chachamim give you a new set of tchum, and so now what you're allowed to do is the following, is that you can now, with your new set of tchum, go back into your old tchum. There's overlap between your new tchum and your old tchum. Once you go back into your old tchum, you can reestablish your old tchum. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Now, what is at the core of the debate over here? Marsavar avla tchum and milsihi, marsavar lav milsihi. At core over here is the following discussion. If, let's say, you have a tchum that overlaps with your original tchum, is that significant or is that not significant? According to Rabbah, it's not significant. Rabbah will tell you that once you left your original tchum, that's it. Your original tchum now is gone. When the Chachamim give you a new tchum, that's it. And even though your new tchum may overlap with the original tchum, that is insignificant. On the other hand, Rashi Barchi is of the opinion, no, that it is significant. And because your new tchum overlaps your original tchum, it allows you to walk back into your original tchum and reestablish your original tchum. So Amar Le Abai Le Rabba Valo Tizbra Davla Tchum Im Milsihi. So Abai says to his Rebbe Rabba, I don't understand. We have a precedent in which we see that Havla is significant. In what case? Uma'ilu Shabbos B'ma'ara Shibasokho Arba Alpayim. So this case over here, it's a visual case, and really you need to see a picture. There is a schematic in Rashi. If you look towards the bottom, you get to see this in Rashi. If you have a picture book that does somewhat more of an illustrative picture, it would definitely be helpful. But anyway, basically the story goes as follows. Well, first let me read in the Gemara, and then I'll try to describe it. Uma'ilu Shabbos B'ma'ara Shibasokho Arba'as Alafim. V'algaga pachos me arba'as alafim, ama, lo nimsa mahalach is kula v'chutzala alpayim ama. Okay, so Abai references this case in not even two lines of Gemara. And the truth of the matter is that a picture here is worth 1,000 words. I'm not going to devote 1,000 words, but I'm going to try to describe it just very briefly. Look at the bottom over here and look at the schematic within Rashi, and what you see over here is a cave, meaning that the trapezoid that we're looking at Rashi. So the bottom of it is really the bottom of the cave. And the bottom of the cave is 4,000 amos in area. 4,000 by 4,000. Now, that's fine, meaning in terms of that area being an area you can walk with, it's not going to be a violation of tchum because it is a totally enclosed area. In fact, you're in a cave. So it's a totally enclosed area. Walking in that area is not a problem whatsoever. Now, as you get to the ground level, meaning you're going upwards, so you are sloping inward, which is why you have the two lines going up, sloping inward. And now there are exits to get to the ground level. Two exits, one to the east and one to the west. Now the one to the east, so what we just learned together is the following. If you were to go up and you were to exit through the east exit, hitting the ground level on the east exit, now you can go even further east 2,000 amos. If on the other hand you went to the west exit, you can now go westbound 2,000 amos. We're assuming now that the it narrowed so closely on the top that the truth of the matter is that it doesn't even have to be that close. Meaning the fact is that the bottom is 4,000 amos, and now as long as it narrows just any amount, so now when you look at that middle area, right now we're looking at this at the Venn diagram of these two tchumim. So if you look at that middle area, so you're going to be having overlap from your eastern tchum to your western tchum. And what we're learning now is the following. Because there is overlap, so now what you could do is you can walk the entire perimeter, meaning we're going to go from the east side. You're going to go from the east entrance. We're now 2,000 amos east of the east entrance, and you can walk the entire perimeter on the ground level from 2,000 amos on the east level through the shared area in the middle, now and head another 2,000 amos to the western level, to the western side. And that obviously is going to be a significant traverse on Shabbos. Now, how is all this working? How can you go that far? And the answer is because of Havla. Because these two tchumim are enveloped one within another. There's overlap between the two of them. And so therefore, even though when all said and done, you're going to be walking significantly more than 4,000 amos on Shabbos, nevertheless, because the two tchumim are enveloped one within the other, we have this idea of havla'a when it comes to tchum, so therefore you're allowed to traverse the entirety of the area on the ground level. Okay, so with all that stated, now Abai is asking this question, it must be that this is a case in which everybody agrees to. Meaning, Abai can't say to Rava, this is a precedented issue, when meanwhile, it's not a precedented issue. So it must be that it's a precedented issue, everyone agrees to this. So So Rava says back to Abai, yes, I agree with you in that scenario. However, he says, look, in that scenario over here, in the case of the cave and the two exits, one to the east and the other to the west, so that worked for you at the onset of Shabbos, meaning this case and its construct and the idea that the two tchumim are enveloped one within the other, and therefore you gain through the principle of Havla'ah, that is all occurring at the same time. However, in our discussion over here, you had one original tchum. You then on Shabbos had to leave, and because you left for a good reason, you were given a second tchum. So these are now two different cases. The case of our Mishnah, you're receiving these two tchumim not at the same time, but rather sequentially, one before Shabbos and acquiring it during the Bein HaShemashos, and a second one you're acquiring on Shabbos itself. And even though the two envelop one another and there's overlap between the two, it's not the same case as the case of the caves. So I'm ready to accept Havla'ah in the case of the caves because that is where you've acquired at the onset of Shabbos. But over here in our discussion, you can't have a second tchum that you're acquiring on Shabbos go ahead and overlap with your original tchum, affording you the opportunity to walk between the two of them on Shabbos itself. The cases are simply different. Concurrence versus sequential. The Gemara continues, V'hechad lo Shabbos lo v'atanan. The Gemara says, okay, but let's consider the following. And that is, we're going to be learning together that when you leave tchum, so you're going to be restricted. However, you're only given Dalai Lamas, as we learned at the beginning. And what if the Dalai Lamas that's given to you actually can get you back into your tchum? Well, as we're going to be learning now a couple of times, first of all, how do you measure the four Amas that are given to you? Are you in the center of those four Amas? Or are four Amas going in every direction? So it happens to be the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which we saw already a couple of times. So Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Shtayim, Yikanes, Gimelo, Yikanes. Rabbi Lazar says that if you exited your tchum and you went beyond the limits of tchum and you find yourself two amos outside, you can walk back in. If you find yourself three amos outside, then you cannot walk back in. So we see that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the four amos that are afforded to you, you're in the center of those four amos. But we also see from Rabbi Eliezer that if, as long as you're in the center, that means that you can walk two amos in every direction. And if those two amos allow you to walk back into your original tchum, you can walk back into your original tchum. Now, all this is occurring not concurrently, but obviously sequentially, meaning that you left your tchum on Shabbos. These new four amos are given to you on Shabbos. And now, because you are only two amos away from your original tchum, you can walk back into your original tchum. So this is sequential. It's not concurrent. And yet, Rabbi Lazar says you can walk back in. So my love, Rabbi Eliezer, l'tamei d'amar v'hu be'emtsan v'arba amos li'avu le'rabbanan. So the Gemara says, exactly. So we see over here that you can actually go back in. So you see how Havla works, not only in a case of concurrence, but even in a case of sequential. So Rabbi Barbachana turns to Abai and says, wait one second. You're asking a question to Rabbi, but you're asking based on the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe we don't pass him like Rabbi Eliezer. So I'm relay in. So he says, no, I think it's a fair question. It's true that the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Lazar, but that's only on an issue of Rishus, of Aladvar Mitzvah Module. But if the new area that's given to you is because you were en route to doing a mitzvah, even the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Eliezer that as long as your new tchum is overlapping with your old tchum, you can actually go walk back in. So it sounds like from the end of the discussion, because this is the end of the discussion, sounds like this, that Abaye asked a question to Rabbah, and the question goes unanswered, meaning that we do have cases in which we do clearly see the concept of Havla'ah is employed, even when the new tchum that's given to you is not given to you at the same time as the old one, but rather the old one was established by Nishmashos, the new one's given to you on Shabbos, and in a case where the new one is given to you because you are en route to doing a mitzvah, and the new one overlaps with the old one, it affords you the opportunity to walk back into the old one. So we do see a number of cases that that show us this idea of Avlah, and Rava did not come back with a response. It certainly sounds like, from the end of the sugya, that the Gemara does, in fact, accept this idea of Havla'a, as per the opinion that was originally presented by Rav Shimi Bar Chiya. Okay, that kind of takes us to the end of the first discussion of our Gemara regarding the idea of Havla'a Tchamim. We continue now in the Mishnah, V'chol Yotzim La'atzel Chozum L'mkoma. The Mishnah now tells us that if you are Yotze, if you go out, Chozum L'mkoma, you get to go back. Now, if you go out and you were stopped while you were still in your original tchum, so we've already covered that. You can go back now and just simply reestablish your original tchum. Or if you accept the concept of havla, which we just got done discussing, if your new tchum overlaps with the original tchum, you can go back into your original tchum. Good. That we've already established. Now, if you go out and you're beyond your tchum, and even through havla, you're beyond your original tchum, so then you can't go back, said the first statement of the Mishnah, but rather, you're just simply given a new tchum for wherever you were stopped. Okay. With all that stated, we simply don't understand that last clause of the Mishnah. Last clause of the Mishnah says that when you go out, you can come back in again. And at this point in time, we are pretty confused. And the Gemara notes exactly this issue. So, v'chol yosem la'asel chosem m'koma v'afilu tuva v'amat reisha apay mama v'sulo. So the Gemara succinctly asked the question, I don't understand. In the first part of the Mishnah, which says that you're only allowed 2,000 amas in every direction, which again, I just want to reiterate, it's still more than what we saw in the first Mishnah. In the first Mishnah, you only have 4 amas, but in the first Mishnah, you didn't go out for a positive purpose. You either mistakenly went out of your tchum, or you were even in a case where you extracted from your original tchum. But here in our Mishnah, you went out for a mitzvah. But even under those circumstances, you're only given 2,000 amas in every direction. So what is the Mishnah talking about at the end when the Mishnah talks about chozim l'mkamam, you can go back to your original location. So, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, shechozim b'klei zayin l'mkamam. So, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, well, I'll suggest the following as pshat in our Mishnah, in the last clause of the Mishnah. And that is that the truth of the matter is that, like we learned the first part of the Mishnah, you only have 2,000 amas in every direction of your new tchum, of your new point of center. That's a given. And the allowance that the Mishnah at the end is talking about is the allowance of taking your weapons back with you. Meaning, we're assuming over here as one of the cases that you went out is because you went to fight. And you took weapons with you. And then what happens is that after the fight was over, so now what should you do regarding your weapons? Meaning, tchum is only a discussion of walking and how far you can go vis-a-vis traversing and just simply moving around. But now we're adding to the discussion by talking about the weapons that you brought with you. Now, the weapons that you took with you to battle, so obviously you need them. And that we're going to clearly put under the category of pikuach nefesh. But once the battle is over, and now you're going to take your weapons back with you, so you cannot go more than 2,000 amos. How far back can your weapons go back with you? That's the discussion here at the end of the Mishnah. And Rav Yehuda Marav says, Chozim b'kli zayin l'mkamam. You can go back with your weapons. You can actually take your weapons back with you. Now again, when we say back, we don't mean back home, as we just established. We means wherever the 2,000 amas can allow you to go. So the Gemara says, interesting. So, umay kusha. I'm not really sure if I even understood the question to begin with. Dilmala hatzol shani. So the Gemara says, look, if we are en route to saving lives, can't we say that that's different? Rashi over here explains, Dilma shlo hatzol shani, umishi yatsa bereshus demasnitsin, ikalu ukme be'edus hachodesh, uvechachma habalele. Meaning, what we can now do in the Mishnah is make a very simple distinction between the first part of the Mishnah and the last part of the Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah, you went and left your tchum for positive reasons, but not necessarily sakanas nefashas reasons. You went out because of Eidus HaChodesh, you went out because you want to deliver a baby, although, certainly, I can hear an argument that delivering a baby is a kind of stafashos, but right now, it's not an immediate danger, it's just obviously going to make it a lot easier, and a lot safer, I'm admitting at this point in time, it's hard to understand how delivering a baby fits into this first category, but Rashi says it, okay. So the Eidus HaChodesh and Chachma Balelet, Ava Habalatzil Me'oivim, Rashi continues to write, but if you're saving somebody from enemies, Yeshlachu Shema Oivim Yedifu Acharav, And if now you went out and you dealt with enemies, now I say dealt with enemies, meaning there was a clash, and you fought them back. But at that point in time, however, you don't know what you don't know what the next wave can bring. So maybe under those circumstances, you're given the opportunity to walk all the way back home. Maybe that could be a simple way to distinguish between the first part of the Mishnah and the latter part of the Mishnah. And now what the Gemara is saying is that I don't know if we have to introduce this answer of your weapons, and you can bring your weapons back with you, but not all the way back home, just to where the 2,000 amas are. We could just easily distinguish. First part of the Mishnah is talking about Eidos HaChodesh. Last part of the Mishnah is talking about Milchama and Sekanos HaFashos. So the Gemara says, Ili Kasha HaKasha. So the Gemara says, fine. I'll tell you what, however. So from the Mishnah itself, I wouldn't be so bothered. However, there's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. And here the Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. So first of all, those people who went to the who went to the Beis Hamikdash in order to testify, they saw the new moon. And the Mishnayos over there in Rosh Hashanah describe how originally, once they went to the area of the Beis Hamikdash in order to testify to the Beis Din HaGadol, so they were stuck there, and they couldn't go anywhere. Rabbi Gamliel was the one who made the takana that because they left Bereshit, so therefore they're afforded a new 2,000 amas. So he's the one who instituted this idea of because they left Bereshit, so therefore a new 2,000 amas from their new point of center. Fine. V'lo elu bavar amru. This Takana Rabbi Gamliel was not limited to Eidos HaChodesh, teaches us the mission Rosh Hashanah. Ela afilu chachama balele, but someone is delivering a baby. V'haba la'asel min ha'gayis, min ha'nar, min ha'polos, min ha'dleika. And anyone who is even en route to saving somebody from an army, from a river, from rubble, or from a fire, harenka anchi ihair v'yeshlem apayim am lechol ruach. So now they're going to be like members of this city, the new city in which they're in, and they're given for 2,000 amas in every direction. So says the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. V'sulo hamart. Now what we get to do is put side by side the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that we just learned, and our Mishnah here in Erevin, Daf Mem Dalam Adbeis. I mean, we're in Mem Hey, but you understand. From yesterday's Mishnah. And that is called Yotzel Ha'atzel Chosel Mem Kaman Afilu Tuva. The Mishnah says that that if you want to go save somebody, you can go back. L'chora, the Mishnah means, go back home. Chosel Mem Kaman. And the Gemara says, Afilu Tuva, you can go back as far back as you want. Now, you put the Mishnah here side by side with the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, now we understand we have a problem. Because the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says, you can't go back home. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says, even if you are confronting an army, you can only go back 2,000 amas, meaning you're only afforded a new 2,000 amas from this new location. So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav, Shechozen Beklei Zayin Lem Kamam. So the Gemara says, okay. So Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav, says that we are not talking about how far you can go. In other words, we're going to say the same thing we said in the first part, but here, though, we have to say it, because we look at our Mishnah over here in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, clearly there's a steer between the two. Now we have to give this answer. And that is that you can only go 2,000 amas from your new location, but you can bring your weapons back with you. So, Kedetanya learned here in the Brisa Rishonah, Yumanichin Klizainam, Bevesa Samach Lechoma. So, here was the story. And that is that the person went out to war on Shabbos. And then they returned. Again, return, not return home, but they went to wherever the 2,000 amas allowed them to go. It happened to be that there was a city proximate, and so therefore they went into a city. What they did is they dropped their weapons in the first house after they entered into the wall of the city. And Pamachas Hikiru Bam Oivim Bradfu Achrim Nichnasuli Tokli Zainam Vinichnasu Oivim Achrim Dachku Zedzev Harku Zedzev Yoser Mimar Shahargu Oivim Oivim. Pause over there. So, and then what happens, says the Braisa, it is a Braisa. So what happens at the Braisa is that after they dropped the weapons right after they entered into the wall of the city, and the enemies knew that, so the enemies followed them into the city, and now they weren't armed, and it was a bloodbath. So now, from here, the Chachamim ruled that if you went out to battle, and you fought in the battle, and the battle's over, but in other words, the enemies weren't totally defeated, and now you're afforded the opportunity to go back. Go back to, you have now a new 2,000 amas, wherever the 2,000 amas allow you to go. You can take your weapons back with you. And you don't have to drop them off anywhere. You can carry them to wherever you're going. in order so that you're always going to be in a position of defense, to defend yourself. So, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Lokasha, Kan Shenitzchu Yisrael Sa'omos Ha'olam, Kan Shenitzchu Omos Ha'olam Es Atzman. And in terms of resolving the stira between the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah and our Mishnah over here, so Rav Nachman Yitzchak gives the following distinction. And that is, it depends on one. So, if the Jews won, so then what you're going to do is that you're only going to be given 2,000 amos as per the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. If the Goyim won, and now you're retreating, so you retreat as far back as you want to. So, Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Nachman Shetzar V'Sarai is Yaros Yisrael, and Yotzim Aleim B'Kli Zeinam, Vein Mechalon Aleim Es HaShabbos. So, if I have non-Jews who sieged a city, a Jewish city, so you don't go out to war with them, you don't meet them with weapons, and you don't violate the Shabbos. Now, in a moment, we're going to clarify, because at face value, the statement of Rav Yehuda Amarav doesn't make any sense. If you're being attacked on Shabbos, you don't get to defend yourself. That's very difficult to understand. So here, immediately, we're going to get clarification. Okay, so in the Braisa, it starts off with the same memra of Rav Yehuda Amarav, meaning Rav Yehuda Amarav, the Amara, so he obviously knew the Braisa, so he was quoting the language of the Braisa. The Gemara says, okay, we're going to start off the same way, and now we're going to qualify. The case in which you don't confront them is where what they're coming in is basically for collections. In other words, we're not talking about where they're coming in and they want to hurt anybody. They're just simply coming to collect. So if it's a question of money, so then you don't get to put your weapons on and you don't have to confront them with weapons. But however, once the confrontation over here is where now there is life on the line. So at that point in time, now you defend yourself. You take your weapons and you violate the Shabbos, meaning sekans nefashos. Okay, good. So we understand now that the statement of Yehuda Amarav, as it was originally presented, is not talking about where someone's life is on the line. It's just talking about it was a monetary issue. It was just a question of collections. Under those circumstances, you cannot be mechal Shabbos. However, once life is on the line, chilul Shabbos. Okay, a distinction that we all know. It's an obvious distinction. The Braisa spells it out. But then the Braisa continues. Uviiras mucha lissepar. Now, let's say the city in question over here is a border city. Border cities are more critical, more essential to the general well-being of the sovereign state of Israel. So as a result of that, afilo bal iske nefashos ela al iske tevin v'kash, yotzin alein b'klizein mechanala es haShabbos. Because that border city is so critical to the well-being and the preservation and the defense of the entire Jewish state, so therefore, even if what the non-Jews are coming in is monetary issues, collections, that needs to be defended, even with Chilul Shabbos. It needs to be defended. Amar Rav Yosef bar Min Yomi, Amar Rav Nachman, uvechol ubabel ki'iras mucha lesepar damya. Then the Gemara says that not only is this true regarding a sovereign Jewish state of Israel, but it's also true regarding any area that's inhabited by Jews, is that if we're talking about one of the bordering towns, so it's going to have that same status. In fact, Rav Nachman says Bavel has that status. Now, when he says the word Bavel, so in general, we know that Bavel can sometimes be used as a general term to describe the Jewish community that lived between the Tigris and the Euphrates. On sometimes, however, here's going to be one of those examples, Bavel actually meant to be used to name a specific town. Which town was it used to describe? The Gemara spells it out over here. V'tigramu Naharda. It's actually a description of the town of Naharda. So that is considered a border town. If there is any threat to the town of Naharda, and by threat we mean even a monetary threat, it is going to be considered a bordering city, and so therefore you are going to be making a stand, defending the people of Naharda, and really for that matter the entire community of Bavel. And even if the grounds of the invasion is just a monetary grounds, it doesn't matter. This is a border city, and you have to take a stand and you have to defend. Darsh Rab Dusai Demin Bira my Dichsev. Everything we just said in the Gemara, this idea of going out to war on Shabbos, a difference between a financial confrontation versus confrontation that was life and death, a bordering town, all this discussion that we just had. So the Gemara now is going to point out, this is actually, you're going to see this in the Psukim in the Navi, in Shmuel, in David HaMelech. And the Gemara here just quickly goes over the Psukim. Vayidu la David le'mor, hinei plishim nilchamim b'ki'ilah. So it was reported to David that the plishim came in and they invaded the town of Ki'ilah. Ve'imashosim esagranos. Now it was financial. It was a monetary confrontation. They came in not to take any Jewish life, but just simply to make a collection of the granary. Tana Ki'ilah iras mukhalas paraisam. And we learned in the Braisa that Ki'ilah was a town that was it was a border town. And when the plishim came in, they only came in to collect grain. And the pasuk goes on to say, "Vayishal David b'Hashem leimor, ha'elech v'kesev b'plishim ha'ila." So, and now David makes an inquiry, and he asks the Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning the Urim v'Tumim, and he says, "Should I go and should I attack the plishim?" Vayomer Hashem al David, "Elech v'kesev b'plishim, v'oshata et ki'ilah." And the answer is the affirmative. Yes, go ahead. So, umay kami ba'ilei. So the Gemara says, "Now wait 1 second. Let's just pause over here for a moment in the story." So David HaMelech went ahead and asked the Urim v'Tumim. The Gemara says, "I don't understand." So Ilei Mishari Yaser Hare Bezina Shoshmol Haram Asikayim. If he's asking about the permissibility, whether it would be mutter to do so, so the Urim v'Tumim is not the destination in terms of where you go. That's not the correct address of asking the question of Isser V'Heter. Isser V'Heter is a question that you asked the Beis Din. Shmuel Hanavi and his Beis Din were there. That question should have been delivered, shuttled to the Beis Din of Shmuel HaRamasi. That's Issa V'Heter. Urim V'Tumim, you don't ask questions of Issa V'Heter. Rashi over here says it explicitly. So Ela imitzlachi lo mitzlach. So the Gemara says no. The question that was asked to the Urim V'Tumim was whether or not they were going to be successful. Right? Imagine for just a moment if you have that ability to know that in a military campaign, am I going to be successful? So imagine how precious that information is to know whether it will or will not be. Anyway, and in fact, if you read the pasuk now with this understanding that what they were asking is not whether we can or cannot, that's an Isser V'Heter question, that question should go to the Beis Din. But rather the question is, are we going to be successful? It actually reads in the Psukim, Lech V'Hikisa B'Plishim, because the answer that he got was go ahead and destroy them, meaning conquer them, meaning that's what's going to happen. Okay, I don't know the answer, but I'll ask the question. And if the answer that was given was you're not going to win the war, so would that have changed David's decision? Meaning this is a border town. The halacha is by a border town, you have to make a stand and you have to defend. And now if David were given the information that you're not going to win and you're not going to be victorious, so does that mean now that you're not going to go and you're not going to defend? Okay, so I'm smart enough to ask the question, not smart enough to have an answer to this question, or just not knowledgeable enough. Anyway, we're going to continue in the Mishnah. So ended a long first sugya of today's daf. We really covered two topics. One, so far we covered havlas tchumim. What happens when there's overlap between one tchum and another tchum? In that discussion, maybe there's a difference between where the two tchumim come to you at the beginning of Shabbos, that's like the case of the cave, or one tchum comes at the beginning of Shabbos and the second tchum comes on Shabbos itself, like the case where you left Berishos. So, and maybe there's a distinction to be made between those two cases, although clearly Rav Shimi Bar Chiya and Abaye were of the position that there's no distinction to be made. The second discussion that we had so far this morning was the question of how to understand our Mishnah when the Mishnah says, Chozrin lam komam, you can go back to your original house, which is impossible to understand because the Mishnah first established that even when you're going out to war, and the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah is so clear about this, that when you go out to war, you can only go back, you're only given a new set of 2,000 amos, and you can't go back home. So then how do you understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah over here is to be understood that Chozrin lam komam means that you can even bring back your weapons with you to wherever you're going. And you don't even have to drop them at the wall of the city, where whatever city's close to you, but you bring them all the way back home, meaning once you go out for confrontation on Shabbos, you always stay armed and in a position where you could defend yourself and the Jewish people. Then a discussion over here regarding a distinction of being invaded for financial reasons versus being invaded because Jewish life is on the line. And even for financial reasons, the distinction between a town that exists in the state of Israel versus a town that's on the border. Okay. We start with the next Mishnah over here on the bottom of Mem Hey Amud Aleph. Mishi Yashar B'derech V'Amad V'Ra'a Harehu Samach Le'ir Hovelo Aisa Kavnosel Lekach Lo Yikanes Divrei Rebbe. I'm sorry, Divrei Rebbe Meir. So here in the Mishnah, first we're going to introduce ourselves to the Shita Rebbe Meir, and that's the following. Up until now, in the Mishnah, we're talking about where you started off Shabbos within the Tchum, and then what happens is that you left your Tchum, either forcibly removed, or you went out for a good reason. That's what we've been discussing up until now. Now the inversion. We're talking about a case where you started your Shabbos outside of your Tchum. Now here, you were trying desperately to get home for Shabbos, but you didn't make it. And you didn't realize how far away you were from the city. And as you were headed home, you just simply sat down and you're like, okay, I'm just not making it home. Fine. And so you thought now, as Shabbos was entering, that this is going to be my Makom Shvisa. Okay. I'll make an obvious point. If you put yourself if you stopped in a precarious situation where you would be in a position where your life would be threatened, so presumably you can keep walking. But assuming that this is a safe place to stop, so you stopped over here. And then what you discovered is that after the Benesh Rosh's period, maybe it was the next morning already, you wake up in the morning, it's light, and you see, oh, wait one second. I'm within Tchum of my hometown. So now, can you walk home? So Rameir says no. Because since your Kavana going into Shabbos is that this is it, this is my Makom Shvisa, so the reality that really you were within Tchum of your home is not going to be changed. It's not going to change the fact that your Kavana was to make this your Makom Shvisa. And Rav Yehuda Amar, you can't. Rav Yehuda says, no, you can go home. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Maisa Hayan V'nechnas Rabbi Tarfon below Miskaven. And Rav Yehuda tells a story with Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, in fact, had this happen to him, where he was walking back to his home on Shabbos. He stopped outside, and seemingly, the way the story is told over, he wasn't aware that he was within Tchum of his home or of his city. And then, after the Benesh Rosh's period, he came to this realization, and he just simply walked home. Okay. And the Gemara starts off, Tanya. The Gemara here is going to be quoting a Brisa. I'm reviewing my Rabbi Tarfon, Shayim Ahach B'derech, V'chashchalo, V'lan Chutz L'ir Shacharis. I'm sorry, V'lan L'chutz L'ir. Here the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda is telling the same story they told back in the Mishnah, with just a couple more details. And that is, Rabbi Tarfon was walking home. He didn't realize how close he was to the house. He stopped en route. It was dark. He just simply went to bed over there. He woke up the next morning. And then, Lishacharis Matzo Ra'ui Bakar. Now here in the morning, so he encountered shepherds who were clearly from the city. And Amar lo Rebbe, Harei Ha'ir Lifanecha Hi Kanes. And the shepherd said to him, you're good. You're within Tchum of the city. Just simply continue walking and go into the city. Nichlas V'yashav V'beis HaMedrash V'darash Kol HaYom Kulo. And now, so Rabbi Tarfon did exactly that. He went into the city on Shabbos, and he went into the base of Midrash, and he darshan, and he gave shir. So, Amru lo, Misham Raya, Shema Belibo, Haisa lo, Haisa, O base Midrash, Muvla Besoch Tumahaya. So, to which they said to Rabbi Yehuda, look, it's anecdotal, and even within the story, you don't have enough proof for anything. Meaning, in the story, can't we just simply say that he had in mind that he was going to go into the town, meaning we don't know what he was thinking, and you're only assuming that he didn't know, but maybe he did know, that he was within Tchum of the town, and he just simply wanted to stop outside. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that, yeah, he went to the Beis Medrash, but the Beis Medrash finds himself within the Tchum of where he establishes Makom Shvisa. And remember, we made this point earlier, and the more times we get to go over it, the more we're gonna see it clearer. And that is that if you're starting your Shabbos in a city, so that whole city is considered Dal Amos, you can walk within wherever you want within that city, and then the Tchum only begins outside of the city. However, if you started outside of a city, and wherever your point of center is, now the limits take you into a city, that does not mean that you can now walk throughout the entire city, it just simply means you can walk up to your limits. The limits carry you halfway through the city, you can only walk halfway into the city, that's it. Good. We said that before, we're saying that now again. And it could very well be over here that when he goes to the base measures was it within Tchum of his makom shvisa. That's another possibility. So even though I'm not arguing with the story, I'm just arguing with the halachic ramifications of the story, because either number one, he had kavana, and you don't, you obviously will not know that just because you saw what happened. You don't know what was in his mind. You don't know what he was thinking. Or number two, the base medrash that he went to was within tchum of where he was situated. Okay. Next Mishnah. Misha yashem bederech v'lo yada shechashecha yesh lo apayim am l'chol ruach divrei Rav Yocham ben Nuri. Okay, so the person fell asleep during the Bein HaShemashos period. So he was unconscious during Bein HaShemashos. So is he going to be acquiring a makom shvisa? So as we're going to see now here in the Mishnah, it's a fundamental debate as to whether or not there could be acquisition of a makom shvisa and tchum, even though the person is not aware, he does not have consciousness. So the Chachamim say no, that all he has is four amos. Rashi says, Ho v'yashen haya, lo niskavim l'kno shvisa. The acquisition of a makom shvisa has to be done consciously, with awareness. And because he was sleeping at the time, he didn't acquire it. Now, how far, to what extent is the Chachamim going to take this viewpoint? Meaning, if you were sleeping in your home, Bein HaShemashos. So does that mean that you don't acquire makom shvisa? Hard to imagine. Meaning maybe the limits of this position, the Chachamim, is only talking about where you're in a new environment and you now have to actively go ahead and be calling your makom shvisa. Perhaps. Not sure. Anyway, Rebbe Lazar Omer, Vuhu Be'emtzan. Now, as far as four amos are concerned, so as we saw already, but now we get to review again. So if you're in a situation where you only have four amos, okay, so previously in the first mission, we talked about a case where you were extracted out of your tchum, and now you're only given four amos. Or now we're talking about a case where, according to the Chachamim, you were sleeping during the Bein HaShemashos period, and therefore you didn't acquire a tchum, and therefore you're only given four amos. Whatever the circumstances are, when you're given four amos, how are those four amos to be measured? So Rebbe Lazar Amar Vehu Be'emtzan, Rebbe Lazar says you're in the middle of those four amos. Meaning it's a total of dalad by dalad where you're in the center of it. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lezer Ruch Sheyirtze Yelech. And Rabbi Yehuda says no. That when you're given four amos now goes in every direction. So now that would mean that it would be a square of 8x8. So, Umoda Rabbi Yehuda Sheim Birlo Shani Yochel Achzabom. I'm sorry, Sheino Yochel Achzabom. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, but once you choose your dalad by dalad, so then that's it, you can't retract. Meaning that when I described 8x8, that was imprecise. It's not exactly a full 8x8. It just simply means now that you can make the determination of which of the four amos you want. In other words, east, west, north, or south. But once you make that determination, that's it. In other words, you're locked into that particular direction. Okay, fine. So, Hayushnayim. Mixas amosav shel zeh besoch amosav shel zeh. Okay, most unusual case over here in the Mishnah. We're really more interested in the concept of this idea, and that is, let's say you have two people who, for whatever reasons, are only afforded dal amos, and so now these people are highly restricted in where they can walk over the course of Shabbos. They're basically, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, they're basically imprisoned within four amos for the totality of Shabbos. It happens to be that these two people are pretty close to one another, where there is overlap. And so now, within this overlap, what can they do in this overlap? That's what the Mishnah is going to be describing. Hayushnai mixas amosav shel zeh besoch amosav shel zeh, mivin v'ochlin be'emsa. So, what they can do is that they can go ahead and share a meal in the overlap area. Now, what you could have been concerned about is that perhaps one person is going to bring some of the food in this shared area back into his tchum, and the food of the other person, I should say, and now he's going to be transgressing the iser of tchum. So the Mishnah is telling us that's not a concern, and they can eat in the shared area. So mivin v'ochlin be'emsa uvavad shalo yotzi zemitoch shalo l'soch shal chaveiro. And just be careful, says the Mishnah, as we turn to the Amud Beis. And that is, don't take the other person's food and bring it into your tchum, because then you're going to be in violation of tchum. Hayu shlosha v'emsi muvla b'nehem. So the Gemara now is going to paint the same picture, but instead of two people, we're going to have now three people, and there's going to be two overlapping areas. and the middle person now is overlapping with the two people on the outside. So the Mishnah says, very good. So Ayushosh of Emtzai Muvla Beinayim, Hu Mutar Imahen, Vehin Mutarin Imo, Ushnayim HaChitzonim Asurim Zeh Im Zeh. So here, the middle person now can share a meal with each of the external people, but obviously, that's it. Meaning the two external people cannot share a meal with one another because there's no overlap between the two external people. I'm Rabbi Shimon Lamad Avadome. Rabbi Shimon says, let me give a parallel case over here. And that is, L'shosh Chatzeres HaPsucha Zulazu. U'Psucha Zulashos HaRabim. So let's say we have three courtyards that are open one to another. And in the same configuration that we're describing over here, meaning that they're basically in a row. Three Chatzeres in a row. And they also happen to be opened up into Rishos HaRabim. If let's say the two exterior chatzeros made an eruv with the interior, with the middle chatzer, so he maturis amehem vehim maturis ima. So now once again, you can now have not only you can obviously walk from one chatzer to another. That obviously is not a problem whatsoever, but you can carry from the middle chatzer to either of the exterior chatzeros. But what you cannot do is that you cannot go from one exterior to the other exterior because they did not make an eruv with one with another. In other words, they didn't unify the two exteriors together through eruv, and so therefore there was only unification between the middle and one exterior, and the middle and the other exterior. So therefore, you can only carry from the middle to either one of the exteriors, but obviously not to. And from the middle, you can carry to both exteriors, but you cannot carry from one exterior to the other exterior. Okay, and what exactly are we adding over here with this mashal of Rabbi Shimon? So stay tuned because we're going to discuss that in the Gemara. Okay, let's begin the Gemara over here. We're not going to finish our first sugya today, but let's begin it. By Rav Amikus of Rav Yochanan Nuri. So the Gemara wants to know what is really at the root of the shita of Rav Yochanan Nuri. We're talking about the sleeping person during Benesh Mashos, who, according to Rav Yochanan Nuri, is going to acquire his makom shvisa. And what's behind that shita? Mizbar kasavar chefse hefker konu shvisa. The truth of the matter is that, let's say you have ownerless items. So ownerless items are going to acquire a makom shvisa. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi in the Gemara, the first Rashi in the Gemara. Kelim shein lehem ba'al, and we're talking about possessions that have no owner. V'chashech lehem b'makom echad. Afagav dolenz kavin lehem adam lakno sam shvisa. So now they go into Shabbos being ownerless. And as such, so they don't have a tchum. So konim shvisa. And really the truth of the matter is that what Rav Yochanan Nuri is going to teach us is, that's not true. They are konim shvisa. Look at the next Rashi, konim shvisa. Bim koman, wherever they started Shabbos, that's their shvisa. Ve'in adam yachol letatala misham yosem me'apayim l'chol ruach, ve'afilu irev letzad acher. A person who is not sharing the same tchum as that particular kli, is now bound by whatever the tchum of that kli is. So in other words, maybe the Rav Yochanan Nuri position over here is not just limited to a sleeping person, but rather even inanimate objects. So that's one possibility. Now, which one's the bigger chiddush? It goes without saying the inanimate object is going to be a much bigger chiddush. And so therefore, v'dinhu d'liflug b'kelim. So the truth of the matter is that if this is true, this is a correct understanding of Rav Yochanan Nuri, so then, truth be told, is that the bigger chiddush in the Mishnah should have been kelim. So why didn't he give the example of a kli? So v'hagid dekamiflugi ba'adam lo dicha kocha de rabbanan. Da'afagav de'ikala meimer hol b'neir or kaneh yashar nami kaneh kamash malan delal. And the reason why the Mishnah chose to talk about a sleeping person was just simply to highlight the shita of the Chachamim. The Chachamim so argue with Rav Yochanan Nuri that even if it wasn't a kli, even if it was a person, but that person was sleeping, he doesn't acquire makom shvisa. And he doesn't acquire tchum. That's one possibility within Rav Yochanan Nuri. Oh, demokas of Rav Yochanan Nuri, ba'ama chefse hefke in konin shvisa. Or maybe no. Rav Yochanan Nuri will tell you that an ownerless item going into Shabbos does not acquire its own makom shvisa. And that would mean that if somebody came along on Shabbos and picked it up, so then the item will have whatever the tchum is of that person who picked it up. But the inanimate object does not acquire its own makom shvisa. The ownerless inanimate item does not acquire a makom shvisa going into Shabbos. V'hachar netaima ho'ol v'neir kana yashanami kana. And it happens to be that Rav Yochanan Nuri will just simply say that when it comes to a person, even though he's currently unconscious, meaning he's sleeping, but that's temporary. And obviously there's potential. And all he needs to do is be awake and be aware and be alert. and he could be Kona Shvisa. And Rav Yochanan Manuri is not making a huge jump. He's not going all the way to a case of an inanimate kli, but rather just simply saying that since a person has the potential of being conscious and aware, so therefore he's going to be Mekel in such a circumstance. So that could be the understanding of Rav Yochanan Manuri. And we're going to pause over here because we'll pick it up tomorrow with the various proofs going back and forth. Okay, and let's quickly recap our morning. Topic number one this morning on the bottom of Mem Dalam and Beis was Havla'a, as to whether or not you have a Tchum that is overlapping with another Tchum. So can I then go and walk from one Tchum into the other Tchum and acquire my original Tchum? So that was the discussion that we had in the Gemara based on the Mishnah. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya adopted that position, and so did Abaye, and Rabba did not. Rabba seemingly rejected that position. Rabba will agree that in a scenario in which the overlap occurred concurrently at the onset of Shabbos, so there, like the case of the cave, so Rabba is ready to accept that. But sequentially, where one tchum is given to you on during Bein HaShemashos and the next tchum is coming on Shabbos itself, like the various cases that we discussed earlier this morning, so then Rabba says, no, I'm not accepting Havla'ah, but seemingly the Gemara favors the positions of Rav Shimi Bar Chiya and Abaye. That is certainly the sense that we get from the Gemara. Continuing in the Gemara, as we now move to Memhei Amud Aleph, so a lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding the last line of our Mishnah. Last line of our Mishnah says, Chozun Lim Kamam. They can go back home, which we don't understand. Meaning, at the beginning of our Mishnah, and the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah made this point exceedingly clear, is that the Takanos Rabban Gamliel, for anyone who is now left for a good reason, is that Eidus HaChodesh, or whatever the good reason is, or even if it's a confrontation, and even if it's Mechama, so after it's over, so what you could do is that you can only go 2,000 Amos from your new location. Meaning you are given Tchum, but that's it. You're only given Tchum. So as to how do you understand that? And then the Mishnah of Chozun Lim Kamam. So we had a couple approaches this morning of how to understand it. One approach is that we're just talking about going back home with your weapons. Meaning you can't go back home. You only can go back Tchum, but 2,000 Amos, but you can take your weapons back with you and always remain in a position where you could defend yourself. One possibility or the other possibility is it really depends who won the confrontation. Meaning if the Jews won the confrontation, so then threat is over, and then you can only walk 2,000 Amos. Or if the Goyim won the confrontation, so then there's still an issue with Sakanas Nefashos, and you can go all the way back home. We talked about confrontations on Shabbos that are financial, confrontations on Shabbos that are Sakanas Nefashos, and we also talked about financial confrontations but occurring on a bordering city of Eretz Yisrael, or for that matter, even a bordering city in Bavel. Meaning, so if it is a critical point, if it is a point of significant defense for the Jewish people in the Jewish state, or for any large community of Jewish people, so then, even if it's just financial, so that falls under the category of Sakanas Nefashos, and therefore you can defend yourself and be Mechal Shabbos under those circumstances. The next Mishnah described this morning a scenario in which you're walking home. You find yourself outside city, you're walking towards back home on Shabbos, but you didn't make it there. And you didn't think you were within the Tchum, and then you later discover you were within Tchum Machlokas Tanaim, whether or not you could walk back home. Because during the Bein HaShemashos period, you did not have that in mind. The Gemara tells the story of the Rabbi Tarfon, although the details of the story are open and subject to debate. And in fact, the Tanaim debate exactly what were the circumstances regarding Rabbi Tarfon, who in fact stopped short of going home on Shabbos, but then the next morning, after having a conversation, he walked back into the city and he went to the Beis Medrash. That was the story as told, but the details in that story are unclear. Then, our next topic of discussion on the Ba Memhei Amud Aleph revolved around somebody who was sleeping during the Bein HaShemashos period. Is he going to acquire a Makom Shvisa, and is he going to be given a Tchum? Rav Yochanan Manuri says yes, and Chachamim say no. And according to the Chachamim, because he's not given a Tchum, he's only given 4 Amos. How are those 4 Amos measured? That too is a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Elazar says you're in the middle of those 4 Amos, and Rebbe Yehuda says that you can elect to choose in which direction you want to take your 4 Amos. Meaning, ultimately, you also are only given 4 Amos according to Rebbe Yehuda, but you get to choose which direction you get to go in. Rebbe Shimon in the Mishnah talked about a comparable case where... Before that. We then discussed scenarios in the Mishnah in which there's overlapping area between you and somebody else. Can you share a meal in that overlap area? The answer is yes. What if there are three people in a row? So the two exterior people can share with the interior. The two exterior cannot share with one another because they don't have overlap one with another. With that stated, then Rabbi Shimon says that we have a comparable case by the case of the Chatzeros. And what exactly is he adding to our discussion? Stay tuned. We're going to discuss that tomorrow. And finally, the Gemara's discussion in terms of better understanding of the Shita of Yochanan Nuri. Rav Yochanan Nuri says that a sleeping person is going to acquire a Makom Shvisa and therefore is going to be given a Tchum. Is Rav Yochanan Nuri also going to include inanimate objects as well? Ownerless inanimate objects? Is he going to say that they, meaning it, also is going to acquire Makom Shvisa? So at this point in time, we ask the question, we're not sure. And the Gemara is going to look to try to conclude on this matter, and we'll get there tomorrow. Mirtzah Hashem.